friends. This is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. Today, I want to talk to you about Jesus the Healer from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 39, and then draw some thoughts from that. First, let's pray. Father, we look to you together. Open up our hearts to hear from you. Let your Spirit work among us today. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. You know, we are broken people. We live in a broken world. And we need healing. We need healing of broken hearts. We need healing of imperfect bodies. We need healing of our souls. We need healing of our minds. We need healing from our fears. And Jesus came to heal us. The book of Mark is full of Jesus healing. There are 14 incidents of healing mentioned in Mark's gospel, representative of literally hundreds, perhaps tens of thousands of people healed over his three-year ministry. There's leprosy. There were 10 lepers, all healed, but only one came back to give thanks. You remember the story of Jesus teaching in a packed house, and four friends brought a paralyzed man and let him down through the ceiling for Jesus to heal. Jesus was in a synagogue, saw a man with a withered hand, and said, "Stretch out your hand," and immediately was healed. There was the woman with the flow of blood. She was broke from years of doctor's bills and pushed through the crowd and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and his power flowed out to her and healed her. There's Jairus, whose 12-year-old daughter was dying at home. On his knees, he cries out to Jesus for help. On the way, word comes, she's dead. And Jesus says to Jairus, "Only believe." And then they come into her room. Jesus takes her hand, says, "Talitha kumi, little girl, I say to you, arise." There's the deaf and mute man who can now hear and speak. There are the blind man in Bethsaida, blind Bartimaeus in Jericho, who cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." There's the demonic element too, causing physical illness in some, deep psychological paralysis in others. A man in the Capernaum synagogue, the man of the Gerasenes, the Syrophoenician woman's son, the man whose son had convulsions, and many more. In the gospel, we see Jesus as the healer again and again and again. I want to focus on healing at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry in Capernaum, which I think is representative of them all. The village of Capernaum lies at the north end of the Sea of Galilee. Along a rocky seashore, just outside the village, Jesus calls Peter and Andrew, James and John, fishermen, to be his disciples, and the scripture says they left their nets and followed him, his first followers. And he spends time in Capernaum teaching, getting to know the people and their needs, Peter's friends. Peter's home becomes a home for him for a time. On the Sabbath day, he's teaching in the synagogue. And while he's teaching, a man calls out, obviously under the influence of a demonic force, and Jesus tells him to be silent and forces the demon to leave him. And the Capernaum residents are flabbergasted. And now we pick up the story in Mark chapter 1, verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. As Jesus enters the door, he can see in the corner of the house, lying on a pallet, Peter's mother-in-law, her body racked with fever, then chills. She's old now and frail, and they're afraid she will die. Luke's gospel said she's attacked by a high fever. Verses 30 to 31. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. in Luke's gospel, Jesus rebukes the fever in the same way that he commands demons. The lady immediately gets up to help her daughter serve Jesus a meal. Marian, you don't have to do that. I want to. Jesus is here. Verses 32 to 34. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. It's dark now. Peter and his family have eaten along with Jesus and his new disciples. But then, one by one, the whole town gathers at Peter's door. One knocks. Peter, what do you want, neighbor? Answer, Jesus the healer is here. Could he heal my son? My mother, my daughter, my own lameness? Luke says, laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Intimate, personal, caring. But he doesn't always heal by the laying on of hands. Sometimes it's a word or a command at a distance. One time he put mud on a blind person's eyes and then told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. You know, he taught his disciples to anoint with oil for healing. Verses 35 to 38. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." The disciples are pretty savvy people. They're quick to capitalize on Jesus' fame and success. You've got to come heal some more people. Your public is waiting. But Jesus' constant practice is to seek the Father's direction in a place away from others so he can listen. Rather than do what is expected of him, he does what the Father whispers to him in the stillness of the morning. I think there are a number of things we can learn from this passage and from Jesus' healing. First of all, healing is at the center of the gospel. Jesus' healings are signs that the kingdom of God has come. Jesus' healings are part of his core ministry. As you may recall, in the synagogue at Nazareth, he reads from Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of the prison to those who are bound." Jesus' healings are motivated by his compassion. Matthew 14:14. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. The second thing I want us to note is that Jesus teaches us to combine healing and the Word. Too often we focus exclusively on one or the other, perhaps on preaching or perhaps on healing. But Jesus combines them. Notice that Jesus sends out his disciples to, one, preach the kingdom, two, heal the sick, and three, rebuke the demonic so people can be set free and begin to heal. Jesus teaches his disciples to heal and to preach. Mark 6:12-13. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. The longer ending of Mark 16:18 reads, "They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." The third thing I want us to get from this is that we must seek Jesus' guidance in healing. Early in the morning, every morning, Jesus goes away from people and seeks guidance from his Father. What do you want me to do today? How do you want me to pray? Who are you going to send to me, and how should I respond? How do you want me to minister? He teaches his disciples the same way, to listen for God's voice. In our healing, we need to listen to what God wants to do, rather than just go do something without listening. This is a cooperation between the Spirit and our spirit. Fourth thing, miraculous healing is for today. Now, there are some people who teach that we don't need healing miracles today, since the New Testament is now available and these things have all passed away. I want to say, Jesus has never suspended the miraculous healing ministry. The Bible doesn't teach that, not at all. And history of the early church shows the opposite. Now, we know that God doesn't heal everyone every time. We also know that even Jesus' healing was temporary, that everyone dies. And we know that the resurrection is the ultimate healing. But that doesn't stop the healer, Jesus. And it shouldn't stop us. We don't want a false dichotomy, science or prayer, one or the other. We can and we must combine both healing through prayer and healing through medicine. In the midst of this COVID pandemic, I got an email from some lady that suggested to me that wearing a mask and getting a COVID shot show lack of faith. Well, no. People throughout the ages and in Jesus' time always made use of whatever they had to bring healing. Luke, the great physician, bound up wounds, splinted broken bones, had herbal medicines, I'm sure. Paul suggested to Timothy, take some wine for your stomach. Many of you today have a healing ministry through medicine and nursing, and all that's good. But I just want to encourage you that Jesus healing miraculously has not gone away, and gifts of healing are for the church today. It's listed as one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12:9, literally, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. At the end of this chapter, Paul asks rhetorically, do all possess gifts of healing? With the obvious answer, no. Not all, but some do. I want to tell you a couple of stories. First of all, when I was pastoring the Lindley Avenue Baptist Church in the 1970s and 80s in Southern California, we had an organist named Chris who had cancer. She had had 3 surgeries for cancer, as I recall, and now she was diagnosed with another cancer. And she'd been to her doctor earlier in the week, and he had checked her out again. She had cancer. So this was Palm Sunday, and I was getting ready to preach. The Spirit spoke to me, ask the women in the church to gather around Chris, who was sitting at the organ. And so they did. And I remember one of the ladies, they prayed for her. I prayed from the pulpit, but they were laying hands on and praying. And I remember one of the ladies saying later that her arm felt hot. And Chris later said that she felt so warm as they prayed for her. Well, at any rate, on Tuesday, she had an appointment with her doctor, and asked, you know, what he had found, and he didn't tell her. And then Thursday, and then Friday, And then finally, later in the week, he calls her and he says, "You know, you don't have any cancer. It's all gone." God had healed her miraculously of cancer. I followed her since occasionally after she left our church for a while, and the cancer didn't return. God had healed her miraculously. There's a guy that I met once named Ray Jennings, who went to India in the 60s and 70s, and held mass healing. They would set up a platform, have some singing, preach the gospel, and then command healing among the people, and thousands of people were saved, and many people healed miraculously, powerfully, instantly through that experience. Some of you may have a powerful gift of healing ministry and don't even know it. And so I want to suggest several things to you. First of all, make prayer for the sick your default. And then listen and obey God's voice and start praying for the sick. Now, when you see some successes in that, that's an indication that God perhaps has gifted you in this way. And so as you start to see people healed, then get some more training. There's plenty of resources out there and teaching and training. Develop this ministry. God wants to use you in it. And then we as the church need to value your gifts of healing because it can bless the whole church and become a powerful ministry to the community that God is alive today. All of us can pray for the sick. Ask God for guidance, and then ask the person who you've learned is sick, "Can I pray for you?" Carry some anointing oil in your pocket. I do. Anoint them with oil. Pray for them in the name of Jesus. Be an agent of Jesus the healer, and see what Jesus will do through you. Friends, we live in a broken world with broken, sick, and hurting people all around us. And the good news is, Jesus is the healer. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. You may need healing from Jesus yourself. You need his healing touch. Perhaps it's physical. Perhaps it's emotional struggles that you're going through. Perhaps it's fear, perhaps it's mental anguish. I want you to imagine Jesus coming to you with a smile on his face and his hand outstretched to touch you and make you whole. That is his desire. And then, as you listen to this, you may see in your own heart a desire to be agents of Jesus' healing to those around you. You realize that you are Jesus' hands, his voice, his touch today. Get ready to pray, to see the power of Jesus at work around you. He hasn't changed. His love is there, and his power is undiminished. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would move through us with a fresh faith, that you might lead us, O God, to be the hands of Jesus healing, not only the healing of medicine, which we thank you for, O God, but the miraculous healing power of God that points to the kingdom of God in our midst. Grant it, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.